it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, Larry Richard with Paul Rasmussen, and we'll continue to keep you updated on what's going on in University of Pittsburgh, Paul. Obviously, a lot of people are very interested, and we'll continue to bring you the latest.
Yeah, these are the early minutes of our knowing about this from the posting on social media, so it's still a developing situation we don't know much about, but we're looking for details. As soon as we can find them, we'll pass them along.
We have heard a lot about downtown Pittsburgh, a lot on this very radio station, and we've also heard a lot about trying to change the narrative when it comes to the office space that was available and turning that into residential. And you might not know this, but it's Pittsburgh Architecture Week through the 10th tomorrow, and there was a recent design panel discussion about how to turn the downtown onto a growth trajectory. And joining us, he is the Vice President of District Development for the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership, Aaron Sukinek. Did I say that right?
You did. Thank you.
All right, Aaron. So you have heard what I have heard. What everybody's hearing is trying to reimagine downtown Pittsburgh. So what's the game plan?
Yeah, well, so in January of 2025 here, the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership, we released this strategy in action, and that looked at our work through three tiers. This core work, which is, you know, our on-street services, the folks in yellow and the ambassadors in blue who clean the streets and greet people all day long. The activation work, which is, you know, our events, our daily activations in Mellon Square, Market Square, Picklesburg, Light Up Night, Oktoberfest going on right now through the weekend and the thaw. And then this transformation tier, which is really more our economic development. So digging in on that, you know, we of course started with the data. And we wanted to define kind of a North Star metric to drive that work. And what we landed on was the ability to double our residential population downtown in the next decade to create, you know, downtown as this more mixed use neighborhood. Right now, the current breakdown of downtown's real estate is 66%, almost 25 million square feet office, 19%, about 7 million square feet residential, and 15% that's more sort of retail, hotels, performing arts, things like that. So looking at the trends of what's happening with offices reducing their square footage because of hybrid work and, you know, adjusting to current needs with employees, you know, we're on a path to see a 30 to 40%, let's call it 35% decrease in square footage upon lease renewals. So if we take that number, we can roughly estimate that we're going to have that much surplus office in the next decade. And that'll mostly be those older buildings, class B and C, which are also generally better to convert to other uses, including residential.
And that said, what do you say in terms of addressing concerns people have about safety downtown? Because in order to attract people to live there, they have to feel safe.
Yeah, and that falls under that core work, right? And that is a multi-layered strategy that, you know, we are happy to, in many cases, you know, do the work directly. We have an outreach team with folks on the street, but a lot of that work, you know, really depends on those strong partnerships with public safety, with police, and even, you know, police then need to rely on the justice system too to prosecute, you know, where needed, and human services to help place folks in care that they need as well.
Aaron, I'm curious to know, if I were to walk downtown, you know, with you today and we went on a brief tour, what could you point out that I could see that something that's underway, this part of this $600 million makeover?
Yeah, so that the $600 million, you know, downtown revitalization program that was announced by the governor, those investments fell into two categories. One was residential development, office to residential conversion projects. The other was these public space projects. So right now, if you go to Penn Ave at 8th, you'll see the Arts Landing project being led by the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust is under construction on time to be open for the NFL draft in April of 2026. And then wander over to Market Square and you'll see our Market Square modernization project, which is being led by the PDP, which is going to transform the square into a curbless, more programmable area with vehicular restrictions so that we have space that can be widened and contracted for use with a bollard system to enable enhanced outdoor dining capacity. And that'll also be open for the draft in April 2026. Higher level, you know, we have that the office to residential conversion projects happening right now. First and Market is under construction. And even the Gulf Tower is starting its interior demolition now. And then there's five other projects behind that that are in various stages from planning to early construction.
Well, appreciate you giving us kind of a peek into the future. Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, of course, Larry. Thank you.
You got it. Aaron Sukenick, who is the Vice President of District Development for the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership. Coming up, are you smarter than an anchorman? I know you.
Well,
we're going to find out. So we need somebody to provide a lifeline for me. 866-391-1020. You'll be guaranteed a $25 gift certificate to Coons Quality Foods.
The questions this morning we'll be answering, Larry and I, are about Pittsburgh Penguins trivia.
And that's due to the home opener at PPG Paints. 866-391-1020. Week two of our venture and foray into this subject, are you smarter than, in this case, Paul Rasmussen? So here's the deal. Aaron Ferragoni, our producer, is leading the charge here. We have a lifeline. Dan from Penn Hills will be my lifeline if I can't answer a question. Dan, are you emotionally prepared for this?
Well, I'm not on my deathbed yet.
Are you a Penguins fan? That would help.
Yes, I am.
All right, let's see how it goes. Either way, you're going to win a $25 gift certificate from Coons Quality Foods.
Thank you.
Let it fly, Aaron.
All right, it's hockey night in Pittsburgh, and we're going to just do this. I believe in you guys, and Larry, you're going first.
Okay.
Question number one, who was the first captain of the Pittsburgh Penguins? I'm going to give you a few options. Ab McDonald, Gene Pronovo, or Michel Briere?
First captain of the team.
The very first captain.
What was the first name?
Ab McDonald.
I'm going to say Ab McDonald.
Okay, Paul?
I'm going to say Jean Pronovo.
All right. And the answer is Ab McDonald. Wow, Larry.
Hey,
he's
way
smarter.
To go, Larry.
Okay. One for Larry. Question number two. Brooks Orpik was the first American drafted to the Penguins, true or false?
False.
And I'll say false as well.
You both got that wrong.
What?
It's true.
He was the first?
He was the first American drafted to the Penguins.
Well, that took a while, didn't it?
Loser.
Loser, L for loser. So, Paul, you're going to go first on this last question, okay?
Okay.
All right. Head coach Dan Muse just won the season opener. How many coaches have there been in the history of the Penguins? I'm going to give you options. 24, 23, or 26?
I'm going to go 23.
I'm going to go to Dan, my lifeline in Penn Hills. Dan, what do you like?
I'll say 26.
Is that one of the answers?
Yeah, that was one of the answers. 24, 23, and 26. But this one's going to go to Paul.
So we tied.
You tied. You both got one right. And yeah, Larry got the first one right. You both got number two wrong. And Paul got number three. So, hey, that's not too bad. That's not too bad.
So we tied it.
Proud of you guys.
Dan, you're still a winner.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Didn't sound like to me, but thank you.
All right. No worries.
Thanks, Dan.
That was a really hard question, too.
Those were tough questions this morning. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Come on, man.
Hey, I had to give it to you guys knowing that you're both sports guys to a degree. To a degree.
Yeah. I mean, we are. We enjoy Pittsburgh sports. I kind of live it. Love it. Going to Tallahassee.
Well, and I'm thinking about day was that Monday Florida's. That we were trying to name players? Because the team, would you say it's transitioning to being newer?
Right. Lots of rookies. Lots of younger faces. In fact, all three goals that were scored in their first game were scored by players I haven't no familiarity with.
Most fans would know Sidney Crosby. Evgeny Malkin, mm-hmm. Chris Letang, Tristan Jarry, but outside of a few others, there are a whole lot of new names on this roster, including a new name at head coach, Dan
And
Muse.
Aren't they kind of long, like they really test your abilities, some of these last names?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Especially the French-Canadian names.
Those can be
very challenging, and the Russian names as well.
Right.
Or in this case, our Latvian goaltender.
Don't start with this again.
I'm going to let you make the attempt. I'm not going
to. No, I told you that the network announcers on Tuesday night.
It was a terrific start. Artur Shelov's with the shutout.
Artur Shelov's.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's how he said it.
That's the cheat sheet until you get it ingrained in your brain.
Artur Shelov's.
Same to you, pal.
Okay.
He's 24 years old, from Latvia. Showing every Thursday, we are joined by the great Dr. Mike Hutchinson, Animal General, LaSalle Plaza in Cranberry, and you can see Doc on our live stream at kdkradio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company. And join us on the KDK Radio YouTube page, which is growing every day. Doc, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. A little chilly out.
Yeah, I'm glad, though. Get rid of that humidity.
Yeah, it's going to be actually a pretty good start to the weekend. All right, we got a list of questions for you from your fans from South Fayette. Dr. Mike, we're planning a backyard bonfire this fall. Are there safety tips for keeping our dog comfortable and out of harm's way during outdoor fires? Abby says thanks.
Yeah, great question. I'd rather you keep the dogs inside because there's been accidents in the past where food drops and they get too close to the fire or actually step into hot embers. And so I'd be very, very careful. Keep your dog on a leash if you are going to keep them down there. We do bonfires where I live too, and we just put the dogs in the house because it's just a safer thing to do. And also watch for the drop food and make sure they can get away if they're uncomfortable and you do have them near the fire. You might have to move your seat back where it's a little bit chillier and keep your dogs back there.
Dr. Mike, something I should have thought of doing back in the day when I had Ginger. Jason in Bloomfield says his family loves to make homemade treats. What ingredients should they avoid when they're making and baking dog biscuits at the house?
Well, let me see if I can get them all. Avoid chocolate, raisins, grapes, onions, garlic, nutmeg, artificial sweeteners like xylitol, any artificial sweeteners you want to avoid. And I said it, onion and garlic. So you're going to end up in a situation where peanut butter, pumpkin, things like that are okay as long as they don't contain xylitol. And I would stay away from pretty much everything else because dogs don't do well. Stay away from heavy salt and spices, too. Any spice in large amounts can upset a dog's stomach.
What's wrong with onions in dogs, Doc?
So onions can cause a condition called aplastic anemia, which is where the body turns against its red blood cells and or destroys them. And it's something in the onions that can do that. It's mostly from raw onions, not so much onion powder. But I just tell people to avoid it altogether because you don't know the amount in an individual dog that could cause harm. So I just stay away from them. Cooked onions aren't as bad as raw onions, but just stay away from onions.
All right, Lana in Hampton wants to know, Doc, my dog chases falling leaves on windy days. Sometimes chews on them. Can eating leaves be harmful or just a harmless habit?
Well, mostly, that's a good question too this time of year. Most leaves aren't harmful, you know, if they eat them. I mean, the biggest risk would probably be from obstruction if they ate too many. I haven't ever seen that in my career, and I used to be an ER doc. But it's a, I would avoid too many leaves. And there might be a couple of them, like what red maple, or if they get some wild mushrooms underneath those leaves, that could be a problem. So I would try to discourage that. But most of them are non-toxic. And if they ate a couple, it's probably just going to be mostly GI upset, that kind of stuff that you're going to see. But that's a good question, especially now.
And we have a bonus question for you. A listener called in. Please, please ask Dr. Mike. Her dog was tested for heartworms and is now on a heart guard pill and wears the, is it Seretto collar or?
Seresto.
Would introducing a new chemical be a problem, do you think, for her dog?
If she's asking about introducing heart guard, not a problem at all. That's a very, very low dose of ivermectin. And ivermectin, as you know, in dogs in small doses is not a problem at all. And it is very effective against preventing heartworm. In just about every case, there's a couple dogs that they found in Georgia that had resistance to the hookworm, another type of worm that ivermectin helps with, had resistance to the heart guard. But it's very, very safe to add in if your veterinarian's prescribing it. I'm not a big fan of the Seresto collar, but if your veterinarian's suggesting it, I would just look up why Dr. Mike doesn't like it.
Is there a website why Dr. Mike doesn't like it?
.com. I always get controversy and I get a million questions from this, but the Seresto collar, there's a lot of reactions to it and they have to be tight against the neck because they work by friction. I do not like poison in a stick. I never have because I was a veterinarian in the 90s when we had all those collars that caused toxicity in pets, especially cats when I was in the emergency clinic. So I'm not a friend. We hug them, we pet them. That gets on us too. And there have been even reactions in people. So it's being sold over the counter. It's a very popular collar. It claims to work for 8 months if it doesn't get wet. But we find ticks engorged on dogs that have that collar on. And it might be because they're not using it correctly and they're not keeping it real tight. But as you can tell, I'm not a fan. There's much, much better products out there, in my opinion. And that's why our group recommends NexGard for fleas and ticks.
Is there a Lyme disease vaccine for dogs?
There is. And the one that we use, I consider it the safest. You know that I do a lot of reading because I get asked a lot of questions. It has an outer surface protein on the Lyme disease called outer surface protein A, OspA. And that is what stimulates immunity against Lyme disease. So the vaccine we use just harvests that outer surface protein and then we inject that into the dog. And the dog then creates antibodies to that outer surface protein. And it's an A-rated vaccine, meaning that over 90% of the dogs that have that, it protects them against getting infected with Lyme disease. Or if they get bitten and infected, it binds and destroys that Lyme disease. So I like it a lot. I do recommend it as a core vaccine in our area. There might be some areas in the United States where they don't recommend it because they don't have a lot of Lyme disease. But I think Lyme disease is in all 50 states now, so I like the vaccine a lot. Unless there's some other reason that you don't want to vaccinate the dog, I'm a fan of the Lyme vaccine that we use, which is from Boehringer Ingelheim, and it's a good vaccine. They're actually going to approve that one in people, I think, shortly, probably by the end of this year, I'm hearing. And they're using the outer surface protein A vaccine in people, too. And that's one I would consider for myself, and I'm not a big vaccine guy, so... just because I'm exposed all of the time.
Yeah, makes sense.
Hey, Dr. Mike, getting back to NexGard and HeartGuard, those can be kind of expensive for some people. Are there workarounds available?
Well, the HeartGuard, there's some generic versions out there. I can't speak to the effectiveness, but I haven't heard problems, and that's truthful. The NexGard, there's no generics out there. They use the original molecule, the AFOX Lander molecule from the sea sponge. So that's the original. In my opinion, that's one of the safest out there. Any dog can have a problem with any product. We all know that. So it all has to be individual and, you know, speak to your veterinarian about that. But I don't know a workaround with the NexGard. I'm telling you, the diseases that they get are very detrimental to the animals. So I look at risk reward, and that's one of them I would invest in, because we just have such a problem with ticks in our area, and they're disease caring experts. And I really wish, well, people do hear that loud and clear. There's no question, but because we're all worried about the tick diseases in ourselves as well. That's another reason why I'm not a big fan of Seresto. It can repel ticks. Well, I don't want to repel ticks in my house, you know, where we're going to get them then. So I want something that effectively kills them. And Seresto repels, and it can kill, but I'm not a big fan of the repelling part. I want something that just kills them.
Dr. Mike Hutchinson, go to kdkradio.com for a link to animaljeneral.net. Good to see you, Doc. Doc's sporting his Steelers hat, getting ready for Cleveland coming to town, and a Penguins hoodie. Yeah, you got everything covered.
Well, the Penguins started off good. Sorry, Coach Sullivan.
Yeah, they look good. All right, Doc, we'll check in with you next Thursday.
All right, take care.
Big news last night, late breaking, Israel and Hamas agreeing to the first phase of a peace plan for the release of Israeli hostages, Palestinian prisoners, and it includes an Israeli withdrawal from Gaza. And the president called family members in Washington, D.C. to say their loved ones will be coming home soon.
Thank you very much, everybody.
You did it!
Wow. You did it! Wow.
And they'll continue to hope that this carries through. I think once the hostage exchange takes place, that's the most important to many people, to signify that this may be for real.
A couple of troopers were wounded, a suspect killed on Wednesday evening in a shootout. This happened in Franklin County, PA.
Governor Josh Shapiro took to social media, saying in part, Pennsylvania's law enforcement officers are the very best of us, running towards danger every day to keep our communities safe. He and his wife are praying for those injured and their families.
This is far too frequent an occurrence, and we've had multiple Pennsylvania state troopers in particular shot this year.
Yes, yeah, 7 so far, Larry. These officers were in critical and serious condition at last report this morning. The Pens are playing their home opener tonight against the New York Islanders.
Yeah, this is a fun night for fans to be part of the ceremonial open. You know, it's not unlike you get the first opener for the Steelers. You get home opener for baseball, such a big deal. But they're going to welcome them back with the first win.
Right, and the Pens put on a great show, like, for special occasions, don't they?
They do, and it should be a fun hockey night.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.